Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Dumpty, 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 dum, dumpty, dumpty, da, da, dumpty, 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 da, dumpty, dumpty, da.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docu drama that I set up.
Like Kenneth Williams, to be honest, by the way.
It's centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the digital combine harvester that is Royfield Brown. And with me, I have the rusty wheelbarrow that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Johnny's home farm tech wet dream, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumby Dum is from the splendid people who attended the Archers quiz night on Friday, which was splendid. Did you have lots of fun?
We did. It was brilliant, actually. Thank you so much to everybody who came, and particularly to the very nice people who looked after one of our number who was having a bit of a nervous wobble beforehand, and everybody sort of looked after everybody, and it was lovely. It was very lovely.
The picture of everybody was kind of like splendid. I think that's the word of the episode, wasn't it? Splendid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, well, I hope that I'll actually get that dum-de-dum, because we're talking about it and I don't have it in my inbox.
Yes, no, I know where it is. I've just got to get it off where it is and send it to you. Ooh.
Superb. Now, if somebody else would like to corral about 30 odd people into a pub, line them up all against a wall and take a picture of them whilst they're singing a dum-de-dum, Lucy, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum, leave us a plot prediction, or talk to someone Polish as if they are deaf, then call us on 0203-031-3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, and to Derek going back bedroom. Derek's been helping catch the goslings. Pip and Toby have been chasing them, so if you see them, please let them know they're ungainly, flappy things with an irritating squawk, and the goslings are small and fluffy.
Hey! Luce, I didn't understand that Polish reference. What am I missing?
No, the way that Jennifer was talking to Lexi.
Oh, okay. That she's Bulgarian.
No, she's Polish, isn't she?
No, she's Bulgarian.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, knickers. Shall I change it?
No, I think that's quite funny. So, okay. On this week's episode, we have calls from Grace from Manchester, who can see the return of Matt Glynn, who thinks that Johnny at Home Farm will be a disaster. Oh, I do hope not. And Witherspoon, who thinks Adam and Ian will make a happy family. I got some thoughts and feelings on that. But first, before we crack on with the caller innerers, top of the shop, best bit of the show, it's Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week with a job offer. Tony encouraged Johnny to help with the veg boxes. It's not just counting carrots, he said with a laugh. It's counting leeks as well. Fortunately, Johnny had bribed a cow to limp at the end of the field to distract Tony. Oh, I wish I had your eyes, said Tony. Get in touch with Anisha, Tone. She'll have them whipped out in a sec. When he was pressed for an answer, Johnny finally responded with, Aunt Vegbox is really, really boring. He's had his head turned by a friend who's got a massive auger, apparently. He wants to travel the world, see new sights, experience different ways of living. Pat, Tony, I'm off to Home Farm. He's had his jobs, and he's reading about the customs in that part of the world. Apparently, you bow when you see Kate Madicarne and offer her money. If you find Brian engaged in Congress with anyone, you simply avert your eyes. But one of the sights to watch out for is younger tribe members roosting up trees. So he went off to Home Farm to be interviewed by Adam. What are your special skills? Asked Adam. Wheels, said John. I love them, round and round. Well, well done, you've got the job, said Adam. My God, it's rigorous, the HR at Home Farm. Ryan was less than impressed. He'll be fine, Adam reassured him. Johnny's used everything they've got at Bridge Farm. They haven't got anything at Bridge Farm, Adam. They still pick leeks by strapping Pat to the underside of a horse and hitting it with a welly. Tony was cross about it, naturally, and ramped up his disgruntlement to Def Grump 4. Things cheered up slightly at Gay Grable's. I wonder why Kathy's not with us, said Roy at the summit meeting. I don't know, Roy. Maybe because she's left. Surely day-to-day management of Gay Grable's must be even more challenging with an invisible mute manager. Could she not officially leave, move, spontaneously combust? This is getting ridiculous now. Ooh, tension is mounting before the Flower and Produce show. It is! There's an outsider... Jackson, who's upset all the bookies by producing marrows the size of air balloons. We're calling the Flower and Produce the F&P now, apparently, to make it sound even more dynamic. Jilly's entering her gentleman's buttonhole. That's dynamic enough for anyone, surely. Anyway, no doubt Cecil Jackson's got a bloody massive gentleman's buttonhole the size of the Grand Canyon. Having lived there for 3 weeks, Roy picks the week before she leaves to give Lexi a tour of the village. This is where I put dog shit through Usha's letterbox. This is where my mum got felt up by Brian Aldridge. Then they met a leering Will Grundy and Brian. Brian started rabbiting on about the cricket, and Roy said he'd got an opener out at full stretch. I have no idea what that even means, but it made my eyes water. Jennifer is so good to the pickers. She bought Lexi some rubber gloves and told her that suffering racial abuse is a small price to pay for living somewhere so special. Jennifer was utterly vile, and Lexi took her down like Floyd Mayweather with a snide reference to Mistress of the Buttocks. Marvellous. And now, surrealist news. Why in the world does going to boarding school make you like gooseberry jam? Gives you a penchant for a bit of tart? And why would Auntie Cardboard not get any peace if Piggy got a water pistol? I've got visions of it being like the Pink Panther films, with Auntie Cardboard crying, "Not now, Piggy!" as she leaps out on her from behind the door, brandishing a super soaker and screaming. Oh my God, arranging weddings is so boring. Save the date, florists, caterers, bloody hell it's boring doing it, and even more boring listening to it. Just elope with Tiger Lillian, it is so much more interesting. Krusty and Robert sat in a hedge together looking for an imaginary bird he'd made up. He was just bored and fancied a bit of company and someone to share his cheese and pickle sandwich with. It's quite sweet, really. But then to his surprise, Krusty actually saw one of Robert's made up birds and he choked on his flapjack. But the big news is Adam and Ian. You could have cut the atmosphere at Adam and Ian's with an artisanal cheese knife. It was all frozen silences served on a bed of resentment with a bitter coolie. And then Adam went online, watched some YouTube films, and now they're going to have a baby. Crikey, the hell did he watch? That's actually quite scary because, like, other people might watch YouTube and accidentally get pregnant. I think we should start a campaign with placards and interviews with Wayne Foley and village meetings. We haven't had one of those for ages, not since Root B and Speedwatch. I miss them. Come back, Lindy Bottom. Put down your copy of Moby Dick. All is forgiven. There's a cause to take up. The end.
Oh, that was a triumph. I really enjoyed that this week. Well done. Well done, Lucy. Talking about Lindy Bottom. Dusty Substances has been talking about Lindy Bott all over the socials, and we might be in a minority here, Lucy.
People love the flipping panto, don't they?
They are peculiar, aren't they? These people that listen to this thing are very, excuse the French, fucking weird. But fair play to you, Dusty, right? You know, you're not alone.
You've tapped into the common consciousness there.
Yep. Fair play to you, woman. We're the odd ones out, Luce.
So, should we shut up?
Yeah. You know what?
What?
Right. I've got something to say. It's not particularly that important, not particularly that memorable. Right. But, you know, as the Gay Grable staff were awaiting Oliver's decision about their future, And then Roy said, where's Kathy?
Yeah.
When are they just going to write her out?
That's exactly what I meant in the monologue. It's ridiculous.
It is.
And I was talking to Nancy Dickey about it at the quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's just getting stupid. And then we said, but surely they're not going to do anything daft like give her cancer and make her die or something. Or, but maybe they can't. They can't, because if they want, because there's going to be the inevitable inheritance thing about, what's his face? Her son.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either.
Like, what's the point of keeping Sid, it in if no one can remember his salty name?
Sid's boy.
Jamie and his magic torch. If there is an inheritance issue with Jamie and his magic torch and the bull and Jolene and Kent and whatever, then are they just keeping Kathy hanging around so that Jamie's there? But it's just ridiculous. I mean, she's mentioned so often, and as Nancy said, all she is a closing door. Oh, I see Kathy's just left.
Bam. Yeah,
you know, and it's just stupid.
And the thing is, as much as we might have been irritated with her as a character, she's actually a bloody good character.
Yeah.
You know, her relationship with Jamie was fraught with tension, her trying to be a good mum, you know, him just losing his dad, going a bit wayward. It was actually good. And then her being able to be a sounding board for Kathy. I don't understand what the character or the actress has done to piss off the script writers. I don't understand, because I quite like Kathy Perkes. And Kathy Perkes was my gateway into this whole bloody shebang back in the 80s, because she had that affair with the policeman. So, and I know that the actor still wants to be involved. So I don't understand. If she's out of it, just get her out of it. You know, just think it's peculiar.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just getting daft. It's getting really silly. Because they keep mentioning her, because they've made her the manager of the biggest employer in the village.
Exactly.
That's just not in it.
There is something else I do need to fess up and say, because, you know, I frequently get things wrong. Mm-hmm. I very clearly said about 3 weeks ago, there is no space for Oliver. The guy, he's off. Well, he's not, is he?
No.
Got that wrong.
Yep.
Well. That's me and my Archer's punditry. Spot on, as always. But I don't see...
What's the Brandon, but the man with his finger on the pulse of a completely different show from the one he's talking about.
Absolutely. There's me, you know, befriending old Kerry and whatever. He gives me naff all information. Whatever. I frequently expose myself to be a buffoon on air. But seriously, though, where is the character of Oliver to go now? Seriously, I don't understand it. Don't understand it.
Yeah, well, I think probably... Oh, thank you. Could you bring me a glass as well, please? Thank you. That's William, who's my little gopher. He came to the quiz night. He had a whale of a time.
Oh, was that him I could see on the extreme left-hand side of the picture?
Out of his cupboards for the evening. He had a very nice time. Anyway.
Awesome.
Shall we do a call?
Oh, do we have to? I quite like it when we just talk amongst ourselves. I feel like the caller in is just intruding our fun. But if we have to, why not then?
I feel.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first, Lucy?
Let's have Glyn Fullerlove first.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week in Dumpty Dumland. I did try and send a message last week, but as it didn't appear on the show, I'm assuming there was a speak pipe failure, or more likely a wine-induced user send failure. But let's move on then to this week. And I think the autumn has been mapped out now, so we're going to have the trials and tribulations of Ian and Adam's adoption, Lillian's wedding plans, and Johnny systematically smashing up every piece of kit at home farm. I would like one or two storylines to be reinvigorated or at least resolved. I'm still suspicious about Brighton and Toby. I still don't think we really have heard everything that happened there. And I still can't quite work out what Oliver's financial position is. He seemed to have to sell Grey Gables. Now he doesn't have to sell Grey Gables. Is that because he's now selling the Italian villa, or has the Ambridge Money Fairy just sort of solved all of his problems? But maybe that will work out, or maybe it won't. Who knows? But I think that's enough from me for this week. So thank you to Royfield, to Lucy, to Naked Fingers, to Yokel Bear, to Millie Bell, and to all the Dumpty Dum team. And a happy Dumpty Dumming and archering to everybody in Dumpty Dum and Archer's Land.
Johnny breaking up every piece of kit at Hope Farm. Yes, thank you, William. Thank you very much. I can. But the thing is, every time Adam champions a cause against Brian, it goes wrong every single time. I mean, the herbal lays are now going right, but that's taken ages.
So you've just invalidated what you just said there, then, Lucy.
Why? What did I say? For the first sort of year, they were just sitting there looking all floppy and droopy, and Brian was going, "I'm not sure this is such a good idea." He was going, "Give it time, Brian." So yes, I can imagine Johnny joyfully backing into something very expensive with something else very expensive. I think that's a very funny idea. I like that, and I like the fact that Tony was so horrified that he was going to Home Farm, but I can completely see why he would. You know, Home Farm must seem like blooming, you know, Hamleys when you've been operating in a corner shop for the last sort of year, you know. And when poor old Tony was going, "Oh, there's a lot to it, looking after the veg boxes," you know. And I was thinking, Tony, there's not. Stop trying to big it up. It's just washing mud off vegetables, that's what it is, and put them in boxes. Stop it.
Also, I thought it was really good to remind us, the listener, through his conversation with Johnny, that this is a well-trod path, isn't it, really? That he'd gone off and upset his dad. Johnny's pops had done exactly the same thing. And you have to kind of spread your wings, you know. So, yeah, but it's just that whole thing. So, he's going over to the dark side, so to speak, forgetting all the organics and whatever. It was just very good to see that kind of generational thing.
Let's do Chris from Manchester now.
Okay.
Hi, Royfield, Lucy, and Dumpty Dunners everywhere. It's Chris from Manchester here, occasional caller in a outside circle on the Twitters. Just calling with a couple of little plot predictions. First one about the whole Adam and Ian baby fiasco. It's unlikely that Adam's going to want a baby anytime soon, but Ian's clearly desperate. And so is Chris Carter. Now, wouldn't that be an interesting little twist if they decided to both ditch their partners and hook up together and have a baby? Unlikely to happen, but it's a set Susan off in a tailspin. The other one is about Justin and Lillian and this stupid trust arrangement with Matt. The Dower House sale proceeds are going to pay into the trust fund. Matt is still a trustee. Lillian's the beneficiary of the cash, but there's no obligation on him to pay any of it out to her. So effectively, he's just getting a wadge of Justin's money to play around with at his whim. If they think that that's the last we see of Matt after the smooch in the Grey Gables doorway, I don't think so. Anyway, a couple of little thoughts from me. We'll see how things pan out over the next few months. Bye.
Matt will be back. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has to be, because as send-offs go, that wasn't a big one, was it?
No.
I'm still
holding out for a happy Christmas, Cat.
Well, let's just hope that the whole Christmas farrago isn't too soapy tropey, and that us as listeners who like to think we're a little bit above the average soap fan, that they throw something at us that comes in from left field and we go, "Ooh, didn't see that one coming." Mm.
It's the 22nd of December. The wedding is very, very close to Christmas itself. In fact, it could be the last episode, couldn't it?
Isn't that the shortest day of the year? Or is that the 23rd?
I don't know.
I know that Matt is some
What's kind that of... to do with anything?
Oh, I'm just saying maybe Matt is some metaphor for blocking out the sun. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you did that bit where you said you were a buffoon and didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, you have got
maybe
there.
Matt's going to come back as a druid or something.
Are you suggesting Matt is the eclipse? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. Just, you know, it's just an auspicious date. You know, if it's not actually the shortest day of the year. The Feast of Saturnalia. Is that Roman Feast of Saturnalia, whereby is the one day of the year where the slaves could
become the
masters. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's not
so,
a day, though. It goes on for a week.
Was it? Mm, but it started on that day, though. It started on that day.
Yeah.
Mm. What's the woman called in the office who's a total nightmare?
Anthea.
Well, she does tell him what to do already, though, doesn't she? So that's not going to upend things. Maybe the social order in Ambridge will be upended. Don't know. I am really talking nonsense now. What else What else did Mr. Chris say from Manchester?
Well, he said something that Glyn Fullerlove said. So I think, no, not Glyn Fullerlove, Witherspoon. So I think we should talk about that next.
All right, then.
Greetings, Lucy Royfield, Yoko Bear, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Last night, handsome husband and I were watching the third episode of the fourth series of the most excellent and gripping Line of Duty, and I recognized the voice of one of the members of the evil DCI Roz Huntley's team. I did some checking, and yes, indeed, it was our own vet Anisha Jayakode moonlighting as a policewoman. The places you find the residents of Ambridge. Anyway, back to our favorite show. I agree with what Lucy and Royfield were saying last week. While I find Adam to be essentially a good fellow, despite his misdeeds, he does have a chronically negative view of the world and is frequently unhappy. In the business, we call that dysthymia. It certainly negatively impacted his relationship with Ian and has fueled his need to occasionally turn elsewhere in his flings. I don't think he's looking for something that Ian can't provide, but what he can't provide for himself. So, Adam, take a seat next to your sister Alice in my waiting room, and save room for Kate, of course. What do they have in common? Well, for one thing, their mother, Jennifer, can be a pompous and condescending ass at times, as we witnessed in her conversation with Lexi this week. Perhaps the healthiest of her children, Debbie, certainly helped herself by separating from the family and moving to Hungary. Now, regarding the issue of Adam and Ian adopting a child, I may be in the minority, but I think it's a good thing for them, and for Adam in particular. It will help him get out of his own head and grow up. I do think that potentially Adam has a lot to offer. We got a glimpse of it this week when he gave Johnny a job. So I continue to root for Adam and Ian as a couple. Feel free to disagree. I'm talking to you, Yoko Bear. I'll end there. Talk to you all soon.
Adam and Ian. Good parents, what do you reckon? I think the relationship.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Did you just ask me the question and then just answer it?
Yes.
Can I have space to thank you? Here's what I think. All right. Now, I've got a little bit of form in this field. Not that I've ever adopted or even fostered, but my mum and dad did for 15, 16, 17 years, which I have mentioned before because of the whole thing about Mohammed, my foster brother from Afghanistan, not getting his stay. Right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, and I got this from you as opposed to actually really listening and taking it in from the Archers. Of all the couples in Ambridge, the couple that you want to least entrust a child to are them pair, because they're never at home.
Mm.
They work the longest, that they're in the two professions that work the longest, most unsociable hours.
Yeah.
Right. That kid will never see them.
And also, one of them doesn't want a child. He just doesn't want to upset the man he's already upset.
Well, there is also that as well. But let's just park that just for now, because I've got thoughts and feelings about that as well. Right. And I think what Lillian said was potentially quite instructive. But Adam leaves out at what time? 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, because he's a farmer.
Not 4 o'clock in the morning. He's not a milkman. He's usually about 5, half 5.
Okay, 5 o'clock. No child's up at that time.
But he's not milking or anything. So, You know, at harvest, it will be very long. What do you mean? No, most children are up at 5 a.m.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Really? Why?
They don't lie in. Small ones, you know, they're up whenever they bloody feel like it, aren't they?
Well, we're not on about a toddler, are we?
Oh.
Right.
Oh, well, I don't know, because they haven't said yet whether they're going to, you know, it's very unusual to be given a baby to adopt, isn't it? You're more likely to get sort of an older child that's got
And I would have thought, and I could be completely and utterly wrong here, that, well, I don't know. You know, that I was going to say they'd probably go for an older child, but you just don't know, do you? You don't know. And you get what's available, so to speak. But I just think, you know, in terms of a family life, you know, you're a chef, notoriously long hours. You're not going to come home until what time? Midnight? You know, it's just, you know, this... Also, on the Twitters, and this is a slight detour. I don't know if it's the Twitters or on the... No, it's probably on the Book of Face. Somebody mentioned, and maybe there were tinges of right-wing xenophobia here, right? But actually, it was a fair point. And this person said, whose name I completely and utterly forget... So here we are. We had a dinner with a bunch of 70-year-olds, and two men announced that they're going to become fathers. They want to become parents, okay? And not one of these 70-year-olds said, "Hang on a minute." I know there was a slight hesitation in Brian's voice.
Brian.
Yeah, there was.
Well, they let you.
Right. And they said, you know,
you were loud, what with you being gay and everything.
Exactly. You know, this person said, "I know we live in liberal times, but it would have been much more realistic for one person to say, 'I beg your pardon.'"
No, they haven't told the Daily Mail. They haven't told Peggy yet, have they? That's going to be, great to do what?
But I did think it was completely and utterly a fair point. And, you know, Brian should have said, "Hold on a minute, you know. Sorry, chaps, how exactly does that work?" You know.
We had an email from Caroline McKendrick,
who is an
adoption social worker.
Oh, go on.
And an adoptive parent. And she said she's very happy that they're doing this storyline. She said, I hope that there is a positive portrayal of the social workers involved, as we often get poor press in the media, no kidding, and very stereotypical representations in dramas. It'll not be an easy process for Adam and Ian. They'll need to talk through the difficulties in the relationship and how they overcame these. Well, they didn't. And make sure that Adam is really committed to having a child. Well, he's not. As is often the case with having birth children, there is often one parent who is keener to adopt than the other. But having an adopted child with the experience of loss, neglect and abuse will really test the strength of Adam and Ian's relationship. The social workers cannot take any risks. I would love to do their assessment. It would be very interesting. I think interesting is an understatement. I think it would be a nightmare because I think they'd have to tell them no. Because well, one of them was completely resistant for a long time. That, you know, Ian's own family wasn't supportive of his homosexuality, was he? Adam's dad wasn't around. I mean, I know you can't blame people for their history, and I'm not suggesting that's what would happen, but it's sort of like they're in family terms, they're not the most stable of people.
Well, they've been a couple for what? Well over 10 years now, must be getting on for 15. So you could argue that they've gone through various crises, you know, infidelities, etc., and they're still together. So you could argue that they are very strong and stable. You could argue that. The other thing, though, that I would say about the whole Adam's reticence to becoming a father is that, in my experience, in heterosexual couples, invariably it's the woman, not always, but you know, for the most part it's the woman who says, I think this is right for us now to have a child, and to a greater or lesser degree has to coax, drag, cajole her partner into saying this will be right. And invariably she says, I feel that this is right. And then he hits looks at the situation hyper-rationally and says, but can we afford it? This would be mean big changes, et cetera, et cetera. So in that way, yes, I know it's two gay guys and stuff, but to have one partner who is reticent, who is worried, who says, I don't necessarily have a paternal bone in my body, it's actually pretty normal. And so for him to say that to Lillian, I thought smacked as large dollops of realism. And then for what Lillian said was also quite reasonable as well, though how the hell she can actually love her child, heaven only knows.
I adore him, and I thought, what, not
exactly.
James?
Exactly.
Did you have another child we don't know about, Lillian? Because you cannot be talking about James, surely. No. That's it. That's it for the caller inners and the emailer inners.
Oh, but we've got to talk about Roy and Lexi, though. Lexi from Poland has called in to you.
I do have my finger on the pulse.
Bit. Well, you're sounding a bit like Jennifer all of a sudden. It's all the same Eastern Europe.
Somewhere I don't want to go. That's where they're from. I like them.
Why?
Because they seem realistic.
How so?
Because she's quite sort of serious and a bit nerdy, and he's serious and a bit nerdy, and
a bit nerdy. He's completely nerdy.
I don't know. I just think they're sweet.
I like the fact that ultimately with Phoebe, it wasn't a big deal. You know,
yeah.
He knows that his daughter is actually quite sensible, and says, "Well, you know, etc." And he didn't like lose his head over it.
Yeah.
You know, if it was somebody like David would have lost his head to a ridiculous extent.
He'd have put her in a nun, demanded she go into a nunnery and all that. Yes.
Yeah. No. So I thought that's pretty good. You know what? I wish them all the best. I like the little, when they bumped into Brian and Will, and that was, you know, slight uncomfortable nurse. And and I like the fact that Lexi said, let's go round to yours so you can tell me all about cricket. Like that. Yeah. Like that. Right then. Now, we're going to take a quick break. You know what, Lucy? We're going to get sponsorship from Camp Coffee if it kills us, right? Because once an episode, I mentioned that brand, And I don't see any other podcast, any other media asset mentioning them at all. So if you're a representative from Camp Coffee, you need to get on the emails and send in us a check forthwith. Anyway, it's a quick break. Come back the other side. Touch of the Yokel Bears.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, that often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday with Dean, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people, the backdrop of great tunes, and allocate 15 minutes to vote.
Good question. Really good question.
Bake Off is back on your TV this week, albeit on a new channel and with new presenters, so it's good to know there's one thing you can rely on, and that is Cat and Mim with their soggy bottoms. Go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. And remember, to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Yokel Bear here, calling with the social media roundup. Got to be quick this time because I'm in the middle of moving and I'm surrounded by boxes and it's just awful. I hate moving. But on the Book of Face, we've been talking a lot about Adam and Ian and the potential adoption. Sue Hopkinson was confused because she said a couple of days ago, didn't Ian say something about he didn't feel the relationship was totally right for children? Probably not those words, but that seemed to be the message. Yeah, I think you're right, actually, Sue. I mean, that's what I took from that initial conversation, that he was saying, look, we're kind of a bit in trouble here. And next thing you know, it's kind of, oh, let's have a kid. Leonie Beavers and Andrew White, both independently, they didn't like Ian very much this week. Leonie Beavers said Ian is being very po-faced and that he's being hard work. And Andrew White didn't hold back by saying Ian is a judgmental and unforgiving git. Don't hold back there, Andrew. Annabelle Vaughan wondered whether the increasing fragility of the relationship was a cue for Charlie to return. Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah, scriptwriters, make that happen. Also as well, go and look at Scott Matthewman's couple of posts on the Adam and Ian threads, because he made a really good point about the differing ages of Adam and Ian and the kind of generational thing for gay men about having kids. Adam being older, maybe it's something that he'd never considered because he never thought he could. Ian is more open to the idea because he's slightly younger. It's an interesting read. Go and read that one. Jane Evans Walsh-Smith says, absolutely, this is the age-old sticking plaster of having a child to hope to heal a broken relationship. Whilst Maisie Jett said, rather grimly, Ian will die shortly after the adoption in a tractor crash caused by Johnny, and Adam will bring up the baby alone with hilarious consequences. Yeah, I'm not sure it'd be really hilarious, not with Adam. I can't see Adam getting into hilarious scrapes. Other things we talked about, though, was Lillian, wedding, 22nd of December. Oh, God, is she going to be the Christmas cliffhanger? Zany Salad said Lillian will find out she's pregnant with Matt's baby. Justin will be furious, so she'll give the child to Adam and Ian to raise as their own. And they will give the baby a name, something like Wheat Sheaf, Kefir, or Kimchi. Joel Heeson says, EastEnders style, Matt turns up, kidnaps Lillian, sets fire to the venue, and drives the car into a frozen lake. Yeah, I can't really see that happening in Ambridge. I don't know, maybe. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? Glimful of Love said, Christmas cliffhanger, Christmas hangover, more like. Yeah, well, if it's Lillian, that's probably the case, isn't it? But over on the forum, I just want to say, Dusty Substances, I am with you. Because she says that she's delighted to see from Twitter that loads of people love Linda and are looking forward to the panto. She also looks forward to the Village Fete stir up Sundays and all that. Yeah, do you know what? I love the panto every year now. And I really love it as well when they do a separate adaptation of it. So you actually hear it. I think that's just brilliant. I really do love the panto and all the lead up. So Dusty, I'm with you. Finally, on the forum as well, you really do have to go and look at Martin Lightburn's post. He's come up with this amazing post where he's basically created an Ambridge Monopoly board, giving the different colours on the Monopoly board to different places in Ambridge, like for instance, light blue, Rickyard Cottage, still smells of Toby's socks. It's a brilliant post, so you need to go and have a look at it. Also, there are other posts there about Adam and Ian and other things on the forum, so go over there. Right, I'm going to go now because I've got more packing to do. Oh, God. Never mind, I'll be soon be moved. That's me done. All right, then. Bye.
Thank you for that, Local Bear, and I like the fact there was loads to talk about on the forum this week, which has been catching fire. Lucy, hashtag the Archer's tweets of the last 7 days. Thank you very much, please.
Loma Lindy 12. Real gentlemen don't mention buttonholes, just as real ladies don't talk about their fascinators. This is the single best conspiracy theory I have ever heard. Ever, right? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Andy Dutton. I'm going to just do this completely straight because I can't get through without laughing otherwise. Has anyone else noticed that King Jo... Fuck.
King Jong-un?
Has anyone else noticed that Kim Jong-un is only ever in the news when David and Ruth aren't in the audience? God, David Blake talking about the whole adoption thing and had Adam saying, I couldn't be more excited if someone had just smacked me in the nuts with a mallet. Sunday the 12th said, only Adam could make a joyful discussion of adoption sound like he's authorizing a search and destroy mission up the Mekong Delta. And tweet of the week was from Kate Marzillier, who said, when Adam said, I really think we need to keep this quiet now. And Ian said, oh, yes, we'll keep this quiet. And said, Ian hasn't even managed to keep the adoption plan a secret until the end of the omnibus.
Poor Ian, he's just so excited, though, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And it's terrible because you can see the disaster coming. But anyway, maybe that's me. Oh, I'm supposed to do an announcement, aren't I?
Yes, please.
If you are in the northeast of England, then join us for a Dumpty Dum meetup on Wednesday the 20th September, 7 p.m. at the Tyneside Bar Cafe in Newcastle upon Tyne. A chance to chat all things Archers, Dumpty Dum, and get to know each other. And food is available too. Hurrah! For further info, contact Mia at Fox on a Ledge.
Awesome. All right, dumdydum.com, go there. Got a shop, got a tractor, which actually helps with things like meetups. You can pin yourself to the map, dumdy mogs and dogs and all sorts. Now, map corner, extremely quickly, but this is actually a long one. You've been sending in your maps for about the last month or so, and I thought I'd save them all up. So first off, I'd like to say thank you to Tim Dunn, who sent in the Rail Map Online link, which has got plotted all of the tram lines that were ever being created and run in the UK and Ireland. It is rather excellent. Aurora Fanny Pants said, I miss Map Corner no matter what Lucy V. Freeman says. And she sent in a map which divides Europe into 28 equally populated areas. Some argue this would fix power imbalances within the EU. Rachel Thomas, Royfield, have you seen this map? It's countries with a population less than London. Much more than you'd think. It focuses on Europe, but you've got like Finland, and you see the size of Finland. It's massive. And as a population, much less than London or Iceland or Denmark or Luxembourg. Great map. Cosmo. Cosmo sent in a map. This is the completion of the OS 25-inch England and Wales set of maps from 1841 to 1952. Bit geeky, Cosmo, but right up my alleyway. Jean Rose, Royfield, this is interesting, especially Spain. Now, this could have been map of the week in just about any other week. It's the how do I question each country Googles more than any other, right? So, in England, it is how do I compare these to a summer's day? In France, they search for how do I stop drinking more than any other country? However, in Spain, how do I learn what human meat tastes like? Don't know what that says about our Spanish cousins down there. Well, it's pretty scary stuff, but a great map. Huh. And in Turkey, they search for how do I activate my genitals more than anywhere else? I don't know where this data is coming from, but it's an awesome map. Alison, quick, somebody catch Royfield before he comes over all unnecessary. If you're in Edinburgh and love maps, they're selling off the entirety of the Edinburgh University Geography Department's maps at the shop. By horse, sent in a map which I think is somewhat unlikely. It's a map showing the most popular drinks, the most popular soft drinks in every country of the world, and it's Coke everywhere apart from Scotland because of Iron Brew. Vicky Cole, my Vicky, sent in a beautiful geographic representation of old world language families. 10 out of 10 to anybody who can guess which foreign language is the closest to English. If you said Frisian, 10 out of 10 to you. But thank you for that. Apart from just being absolutely fascinating, it's absolutely a beautiful map, which leads me on to something which I haven't talked about in quite some time, which is podcasts. I know many people that listen to Dumby Dum are all about the English language, and so it's a wonder that really that you sit through me mangling it on a fortnightly basis, but you do. An absolutely brilliant podcast if you are into language, not just the English language, but language anyway, is Lexicon Valley. A couple of weeks ago, the question posed was, do we have any cave words, caveman utterances, which is still part of language? And the answer is most probably yes. Go listen to that podcast, it's absolutely brilliant. The answer is how we call our mother and father in just about every language, whether they're Indo-European or not. It is generally ma or mother or pa or father. And the host basically explains that these are two of the most easiest sounds that we can make, and we do them instinctively as babies. And then and because we just do them instinctively is whatever language group that child is actually part of, we then respond to that child. So ma 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 or pa 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 da 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 da. So yes, there are remnants of caveman talk still within every language everywhere, and it's for mother and father. Listen to Lexicon Valley, it's awesome. And now it is our map of the week.
Did you see that I sent you one?
I did see that you sent me one, and it was the best. So it's map of the week was Lucy V. Freeman's contribution, which was also sent in by Hanny Wibley, Claire Asprey, Sharon Robson, also sent it in. And it is regional names for woodlice. Up in the northeast, call them dampers or slately beetles. In Lancashire, they call them Billy Buttons. In Liverpool, they call them nut bugs. It goes on and on and on.
Slaty beetles, was that?
Yeah, slaty beetles up in the northeast.
That's a great name. That's the best one, because that's exactly what they look like. Aren't they called something like pollywoggles somewhere
They're
as well?
They're called everything, everywhere. Willy wigs, wood pigs, TikToks, monkey peas.
Monkey peas.
Yeah, in Kent.
That's mental.
Yeah.
Monkey peas. It's like wasps. Every area's got its own.
Surely those called wasps, aren't they?
No, jaspers.
Fuckers. Fucker. What if you call a wasp a fucker? Chuggy pigs. That's what they call them in Devon. It just goes on and on and on. So if you want to know what we call wood lice in the UK, go on to my Twitter feed and you can see, because it is a thing of awe and wonder, folks.
Oh, if you'd like to help keep our little show on the road, and why wouldn't you? There are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Remember to get in contact. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on...
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Our website, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave us a phone message. On social media, specifically Twitter, you can find Dumpty Dum, where we are at Dumpty Dum. I can be found at Royfield, and
I am at Lucy V. Freeman.
On Facebook, that big social network that has over 1 billion human beings subscribed to it, you can also type in Dumpty Dum to see what Millie Bell and Yoko Bear have cooked up this week. Right then, Lucy's got to run. And while she's running, I will then tell you all about Map of the Week and then cut it in before. So that'll sound like nonsense what I've just said. So, Lucy V. Freeman, it's been awesome doing Dumpty Dum with you. It's been short and truncated, but you know what? Short but sweet.
Aww. Bye-bye. Have a lovely week, everybody. Bye. Toodaloo.